chapter 29, the March of Duncan's War. So here I go. Duncan wandered through the dispersing crowds at the market. He wanted at all costs to avoid Watergate, where he'd heard the head of Captain Arnott was to be spitted and left for ignoble display infidently. The tyrants sent the 10 grizzled right hands to be fixed on Lonark Tollbooth, where the men had reaffirmed their loyalty to the Covenant. The remaining hands and heads were sent to the villages where the men had lived to serve as deterrent to anyone else who dared resist the absolute power of Charles over the church. His mind was so distracted by all he'd seen, Duncan suddenly stumbled into a side of the cart. The next thing he knew, he found himself almost nose-to-nose with the grinning face of a haddock. Patton growled at the fish. "Now then, lad," said a not unkind voice. Peyton turned and growled at the voice. "Ye must be watching where you're going." Deep in the back of Duncan's mind, he sensed a faint hint of familiarity in the man's voice. The man spoke again. "Are you well, lad?" Duncan looked at the speaker. For a fleeting moment, his heart leaped with joy. It looked so like his father. Surely somehow it might all have been a dream after all, and it was his father. "Father?" said Duncan uncertainly. "No, poor lad, I'm not your father," said the man kindly as he sorted out a few fish left in his cart. "Your brain's been a wee dimmered by the hangings, is it?" Duncan's heart dropped. He was growing used to disappointments. He turned to go. "Wait, lad," said the fishmonger. "You look hungry, and I've got a good catch this morning. Take this along." He handed Duncan a haddock. Duncan gathered sticks as he tramped outside the walls of the city toward the open country of nearby Arthur Street Seat. The idea of waking up to being kicked again did not appeal to him, and he needed to build a fire. Bringing a rock down hard on a few grains of gunpowder from his still unused pistol created more spark than he needed. Soon he had a crackling fire. After arranging the large fish on his claymore, he slowly turned it first one side, then the other over the fire. His stomach roared in desperate anticipation. He'd eaten nothing all day. "Roasted fish never tastes so good," thought Duncan, as he took another handful of the white flaking fish, the steam rising from the layers, and put it into his mouth and chewed. Peyton seemed to enjoy it too. Duncan ate all he could and saved the rest until morning. Lying back against the soft heather and his bundle of play wrapped around him, he sighed. He shifted places. There was a lump in the bundle. Digging around inside, he pulled out the Bible he'd saved from the battlefield. In the dim light of the fire, he opened it. He read the name on the inside cover. John Ross of Ashire. One of those who died that day was named John Ross. Duncan wondered how it came to be left in the field. Perhaps when Ross asked for a quarter in the field and was taken prisoner, and the English searched him and threw it aside. He never knew for sure, but he could cherish it all the more because it was a martyr's Bible. And he let it fall open and put his finger on the page, Revelation 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives to the death. Duncan reread the verse. It was perfect. He read it through again. After praying for his father's release, he curled up in his plaid. If only tomorrow he could find his father, he slept. So that was chapter 29. Bye guys, see you later. See you later, see ya. See ya later. Bye guys.